Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
And welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Before we get started on today's show, I just want to remind the listeners to patronize the sponsors of Superhuman Radio whenever possible, because they are the reason that the show exists. I sell nothing. I am not a personal trainer. I don't ask you to buy my books. I do, however, ask you to listen to me drone on about this stuff that we talk about on the show. I'm assuming you like that stuff. That's why you tune back in. But anyway, you know, the sponsors make the show possible. Sponsors like American Whey, they really do have a great whey protein powder at a fantastic price. You can visit their website at AmericanWhey.com. Check them out. You can contact them, get free samples of their protein powders to check out and make decisions on your own. So, again, patronize the sponsors whenever possible. You know, in shows over the years, the word proprioception has come up. More recently, when I interviewed Randy Roach, and we revealed that after losing his sight while writing the book Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, he continues to not only train himself as a bodybuilder, but he is also continues to be a personal trainer, a hands-on personal trainer. And Randy talked about his proprioception senses becoming more acute as he became blinder and lost more vision and became blind. And, you know, this has really intrigued me for a long time, the whole concept of proprioception. And what does it do? What can it do if we use it properly? And so my guest today to explore this concept is actually someone who has contributed to the show in the past, in the background by sending me studies that he thought I needed to be aware of and so on and so forth. And it's Mike T. Nelson. Mike is a PhD candidate at the University of Minnesota. You know, he's got a lot of credits to him. He's a Z Health Master Trainer. He's a Russian Kettlebell Certified Instructor. You can check him out at both his website, MikeTNelson.com, and also MikeTNelson.blogspot.com. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thanks, Carl. It's an honor and privilege to be here. Much appreciated.
Yeah, you know, you've always snuck me studies and said, hey, you need to be. As a matter of fact, you're the guy who sent me the study on 20 grams of protein eliciting the greatest response in protein synthesis.
Correct.
And we just did that show.
That was a good show.
Yeah, and just recently. I want to say it was this month, but February is bled together with January for me, so I'm not sure. but you were kind enough to send that study to me. Anyway, you know, we hear a lot about this word proprioception. My earliest contact with this word was when I interviewed the fellow from Z Health training program. What's his name? Dr. what?
Dr. Eric Cobb.
Yes, Cobb, right. And he was the first one who started talking to me about proprioception and its importance and so on. So let's start out with this. What exactly is proprioception?
The simple definition is it's your body's ability to judge where it is in space, primarily referred to, for example, your limbs in space. So if you get pulled over by a cop, for example, they'll pull you out of your car, they'll take you out, have you keep your head in the same position, close your eyes. Okay, now I want you to touch your nose. Even though your head isn't moving, your eyes are closed, you're still able to touch your nose and not poke your eye out. So your body is sensing where your limb is in space relative to your nose.
Okay. Now, this concept, while the actual word proprioception seems not to have been used specifically until about 1906 by a fellow named Charles Scott Sherrington.
Correct.
The concept of proprioception dates back to the mid-1500s when individuals, learned individuals, started to realize that there was this kind of bidirectional communication between the brain and other parts of the body.
Correct.
So, and you know, I didn't think of proprioception the way you just described it, but that really is an accurate use of it. I mean, being able to find your nose with your eyes closed. I mean, you know, that really kind of crystallizes the whole concept of how we use proprioception in a day-to-day life.
Sure.
But as it relates to training, you know, give me an example of proprioception in action in the gym, for instance.
Sure. The hard part is, in reality, you really have a combination of proprioception, so information from your joints and your from limbs, and your eyes. So we do most of our work in the gym with our eyes open, and also your ears in terms of hearing and also your ability to sense balance. The inner ear has these three components that can sense balance and movement. So in reality, when we do any exercise, we're actually combining those three into like a map, and our brain is executing that map based on those inputs in order for us to complete, say, a squat, deadlift, bench press, whatever we happen to be doing.
Okay. Now, differentiate kinesthesia and proprioception, because they're kind of interrelated, correct?
Yeah, they seem to be interrelated. I know some of the kinesthesia stuff states that it's more the motion of the body.
Right.
Yeah, it gets to be kind of confusing. Even like proprioceptive information can be split out into, is it just coming from the joints? Am I getting, you know, sensations from my gut possibly because my stomach's moving funny? So it can get kind of blurry pretty quick.
Yeah, and I guess the concept of proprioception has a lot more to do, as you said, with muscle and tendon and ligaments and so on, as opposed to organs or interoceptive senses like, you know, hearing and vision and so on.
Sure.
So we're constantly getting this feedback from our muscles and our tendons and our ligaments, telling us where those parts of our bodies are. I guess it's kind of like keeping tabs on the body.
Yep, exactly. And that's because your body is survival orientated. Unfortunately, your body really only cares about survival. It's not very performance orientated. So in order for us to survive, it's highly important that we know where our body is at all times.
Now, in the gym, is there a benefit to, let's say, exercising periodically and not putting yourself in harm's way, but exercising periodically with your eyes closed, for instance?
I think there can be some benefit, but I guess the better way I like to look at it, and this is based on some concepts from Z-Health, is if the body is always running a map to try and determine where it's at and how it's moving, how can we actually improve the clarity of that map? You know, how can we make the map better? So if I want to drive from here to Chicago, and I'm in Minnesota, and I have a horrible map, I may still get there, but it's probably not going to be very efficient. If I have a really good map, I can get on, not make a lot of wrong turns, and get there in a very efficient manner. So one of the ways we can improve the body's map is by joint mobility work. We know that a lot of the proprioception comes from receptors in the joints. Does it make sense? The joints are, hopefully, the only things that are really moving when our body is moving around. So the body has located a lot of mechanoreceptors to sense that joint movement there. And over time, what happens is our body tends to lose the ability to do full range of motion with all of our joints. So in essence, we're walking around with a little bit of a bad or cloudy or fuzzy map. The map isn't quite as clear as what it should be.
We forgot about that shortcut back road, or by taking the shortcut back road, we forgot about the way we used to get there. So, in other words, this concept of losing muscle memory almost, or
sure,
or motion memory, where we used to be able to. And I know that this is a big issue for the elderly.
Yep.
As individuals age and they tend to be less active, they end up with body contortions as a result of muscles becoming dominant and other muscles not working properly any longer. And
exactly.
A lot of that has to do with, I mean, simple things like getting out of your chair become challenging because you're not. And I'll tell you something interesting. I've started to become aware of my feet. We really take our feet for granted. You know, our feet tend to bend thousands and millions of times in one direction, but not the other direction. I'm starting to understand that, you know, foot flexibility has a great role in strength. The same way that your hands and your forearms allow you to pull, your feet play a large role in those types of movements where you're planted on the ground.
Yes, exactly.
And so, this is obviously another example of proprioception. When we're born, these functions are all there, but when we don't use them frequently enough, all of a sudden the body goes, you know, I'm going to make room on this hard drive for other things that we do every day and just push this other stuff to a lower priority.
Yep, exactly. It's, you know, use it or lose it, right? You watch kids run around and they can do full squats or jumping off your couch, whatever. They have a, you know, pretty much a full range of motion. Now, they may not be super coordinated yet in certain positions, but they do a good job of having a full range of motion. And I think because of the lifestyle that most of us lead nowadays, that's exactly your point. You know, use it or lose it. Your body goes, I was able to put my arm back behind my body for a while, but it's never really been there in a long time, so I don't really need to do that. It's okay.
Right. Yeah, the body
is adapting.
The body is always looking for ways to manage all of its tasks, and if it can eliminate some of them, it's happy to do it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's always adapting. The amazing part is it almost never loses its ability to adapt.
Yeah.
Even in disease states, it's adapting just kind of in the wrong direction.
Right. All right, well, we're talking today with Mike T. Nelson about the concept of proprioception. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we return, we'll pick up the interview. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Oh, hot damn. This is my jam. Keeping the party into the AM. Y'all don't understand. Make me throw my hands in the air. Air, 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 air.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol, a company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All-American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games, we just help you win them. Confused about which creatine product to take? Ancient Strength solves that problem. Ancient Strength combines the three most effective forms of creatine, creatine monohydrate, creatine phosphate, and creatine pyruvate, into a single product. Ancient Strength will propel your workouts to amazing new levels. Ancient Strength will give you the strength of your ancestors so you can push through those plateaus, eke out those last few reps that are the most productive in building new muscle. Get Ancient Strength today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Harness the strength of your ancestors with Ancient Strength.
Strength, recovery, and growth are the goals, and Progenics is the way. Progenics represents advanced dairy science, research, development, and biotechnology that liberates and concentrates the most effective fractions of protein. The results are increased muscle torque, faster recovery, and greater muscle growth. You won't find these ingredients in any other supplement on the market. Take the challenge. Go to progenexsrg.com to learn more about the benefits and science behind the Progenics products. Train harder than you've ever trained before. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Progenics banner ad to save 10% off your order. Progenics, where fantasy games meet science. A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All-American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All-American EFX. We don't play games, we just help you win them. strength, recovery, and growth are the goals, and Progenics is the way. Progenics represents advanced dairy science research, development, and biotechnology that liberates and concentrates the most effective fractions of protein. The results are increased muscle torque, faster recovery, and greater muscle growth. You won't find these ingredients in any other supplement on the market. Take the challenge. Go to progenexsrg.com to learn more about the benefits and science behind the Progenics products. Train harder than you've ever trained before. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Progenics banner ad to save 10% off your order. Progenics, where fantasy games meet science. Are you bored at work? Listen to the Superhuman Channel daily. Catch older episodes of Superhuman Radio, plus listen to Superhuman Radio live every day at 1 p.m. Pacific.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody, there's lots of free stuff at superhumanradio.com. You go to the homepage, scroll down to the area appropriately titled Free Stuff. You'll find ways to get free samples of Concrete, this new creatine molecule that I can promise you is going to be very, very exciting and all the buzz here very shortly because of a clinical study that Promera just completed. You can also get free samples of Ibunex, topical ibuprofen, and free samples of Drive. It's a pre-workout supplement that does not have any stimulants in it, so you can use it at night before training if you like to train in the evening and still get to sleep. And all of these are sent exclusively and absolutely free. You don't have to pay for shipping and handling or any of that sort of scammy stuff. Just go to superhumanradio.com, fill in the form, and it will be mailed out to you directly from the manufacturer. My guest today is Mike T. Nelson. We're talking about proprioception, why it's even important, and how it can benefit you. So, Mike, what can people do, do you think, if they want to increase their level of proprioception, and would that help them in their you know, pursuit of greater strength gains?
Oh, sure. As I was mentioning before, I think probably the best way, or at least one of the ways it's very underutilized, is joint mobility work. So as we were talking about with the kids who have a, you know, pretty much a full range of motion, adults over time, and even younger people, they lose that full range of motion in their joints. And the other thing that can happen, too, is the term coined as sensory motor amnesia, meaning that if a joint doesn't really get moved over time, your body actually kind of forgets certain ranges of motion. And it sort of, like you were talking about before, shuts down the signals coming from there to the brain. So it's kind of like it forgot what it's supposed to do.
Could this manifest itself as a stiffness? You know, like, oh, I just
yeah. A lot of times, what you see is an area gets stiff because it doesn't move a lot. So the body goes, "Hey, you're not moving this a lot. Maybe it doesn't need to move." So it doesn't move a lot, and it starts to get real stiff. And many times, after it gets stiff and it keeps going on, it can start to become painful in those areas, too. So by moving those areas again, you start to get that full range of motion again. You get rid of the sensory motor amnesia, and your map, your body's ability to sense where that joint is in space through a full range of motion, gets better.
I wonder how much of proprioception is peripheral and how much of proprioception is a central nervous system. And the only reason why I say that is because every day more and more studies are being published that are starting to elucidate the influence of exercise on neuroplasticity, especially in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm wondering, like, is it we feel it in the joint, you know, that we're stiff, we can't get into that position any longer, like we used to be. So we say, oh, we used to be so flexible. I mean, really, when you think of flexibility, I think most people think of aging and the lack of flexibility as the ligaments and the muscles becoming rigid and stiff and almost, you know, crystallizing. And so, oh, I just can't. But the reality is the ligaments are just as pliable as they've ever been. The muscles are just as dynamic as they've ever been. But it's the lack of impulse from the nervous system that causes us not to be able to get into those positions anymore. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, in general, I would agree with that. I mean, I think that's one thing I see a lot just doing exercises with people that, you know, I had a guy comes in, it was like 6-8 months ago, you know, shoulder test, can't get a shoulder all the way up. He's like, it's been that way for, I think he said, like 8 months. And most people would say, well, he's got a frozen shoulder. He's got, you know, mechanical changes in there that are not allowing it to get that range of motion. So we do some joint mobility stuff, do some specific exercises. And lo and behold, at the end of the session, you know, an hour later, half hour, hey, your shoulder goes all the way up now. It's like, well, wait a minute. If that had been a mechanical change, it's highly unlikely that that would have changed that fast.
Right.
But I think it's to your point that, again, the brain is trying to protect itself. If it's unable to get the shoulder there safely, it's probably not going to allow it to do it. One of the terms is the arthrokinetic reflex. So, for example, if I injure my right elbow and it's injured, it doesn't feel very good, everyone knows that I'm not going to be able to do a heavy bicep curl with that arm. And the reason is, your brain is going to start to shut down those muscles to try and protect that joint. It says, hey, you've got a buggered up right joint. I'm really not going to allow you to lift anything heavy there because I'm going to try, as hard as I can, to prevent you from doing further damage to it. So again, by doing joint mobility, you can tell the brain, hey, your right elbow is actually good. It can execute a full range of motion. So therefore, the muscles that cross it, they should be stronger, will allow you to lift some heavy stuff.
You know, obviously there are actionable steps that people can take in order to increase joint mobility and muscle articulation and actually enhance their nervous system or kind of reconnect their nervous system to do these things. Mm-hmm. Is it important to do whole body articulation movements, or is it more important to look at what you've lost and just focus on that?
Yeah, excellent question. The Z-Health way, which I agree with, is initially looking at R phase, which is just isolated joint movements. So you're taking each joint and you're taking it through a full range of motion. Because what you find is that certain joints tend to lose those ranges of motion. And the analogy Dr. Cobb uses, it's like if you want to learn a foreign language, right? If you want to learn a foreign language, you have to learn the letters first. So isolated joint mobility work is like learning the letters. And then after that, once you get those under good control, I agree with your point that you'd want to integrate them into more of full body motions. So now I'm going to start to integrate those maybe in a lunge pattern. Maybe I'm doing right wrist work, I'm going to lunge forward, I'm going to rotate up my torso to the right, and maybe I'm going to look with my head left and do a wrist motion. So now you're starting to integrate them into motions that also tend to look more athletic also. So you're now building the words in order to learn your foreign language.
Interesting. And isn't it funny?
Most people need to start with the isolation.
The alphabet. The alphabet. Learn the alphabet first. Isn't it funny that we use the word articulation both, you know, across the board with speech and with this type of muscle functionality?
Exactly.
And it's like, and so theoretically, and I had this same conversation with Dr. Cobb, and I said, you know, I guess, you know, what we're looking to do is build our muscular vocabulary. So the more, the more words you know, the smarter you sound. I almost said the more smarter you sound. Just indicative of my lack of necessary vocabulary. But anyway, you know, but the truth of the matter is, the more motions you learn, then you have a greater degree of muscle vocabulary, if you will, and you're going to have a greater degree of strength and dexterity as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
What are the muscles? What are the joints most that you see? You mentioned earlier that, you know, there's certain joints that are most likely to lose their functionality in people. What are the ones that you see?
The ones I see most common, like you had mentioned before about the feet and ankles. If you look at the structure of the foot and the ankle, there's tons of really small bones in there, and it should have actually a lot of range of motion. I mean, that's what it's designed for. It should move and flex freely, but unfortunately, because of shoes and that sort of thing, most people's feet and ankles are very stiff and don't move a lot. And with each step, you're distributing that force, you know, further up and through your body, through the kinetic chain, and you've already kind of gummed it up before you started. So I see that one a lot, thoracic spine, sometimes in the hips, and then wrists. I mean, those are the ones I see probably the most often.
Yeah, you know what's really funny? I squat and deadlift in stocking feet.
I love that.
Well, and you know, it's not like, I mean, I've seen other people do it, but that's not why I do it. I do it because it makes sense. I thought about this. I thought, you know, my body, my spine, and my body's distribution of load formed as a baby in bare feet, or, mm-hmm. as you know, you never buy a baby a high-heel shoe. They always have very, very flat shoes. You want to emulate the ground, and the reason for that is because you want the spine and the body and the hips to all form without any influences whatsoever of, you know, shifting the balance of weight.
Right.
And then we load the bar with 500 pounds, and we have these, you know, these running shoes on, and they have like an inch to three-quarter of an inch lift in the back, and they basically shift your weight to the front of your shins and your knees, and it's like, wait a minute. At a time when you have all of this massive weight on your back, you should be standing on the ground with your feet, because that's the way your spine formed and that's the way your body is designed to handle itself. And it just baffles me when I see people deadlifting and squatting. Any movement that you're doing where your feet being planted on the floor play a large role, even a floor press, for instance,
mm-hmm.
you should be in barefoot, or if you don't want to be in barefoot, you know, or stocking foot, then get a pair of Chuck Taylors, because they have no lift. They have no anything.
Yeah, get the most minimalist shoe you can find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me when I see people doing that kind of work. We're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk more about the concept of the Z Health method, but more importantly, the whole idea of the joint articulation and so on. You're listening to Mike T. Nelson. We're talking about proprioception today on Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back in about 2.5 minutes. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences uprising.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Confused about which creatine product to take? Ancient Strength solves that problem. Ancient Strength combines the three most effective forms of creatine: creatine monohydrate, creatine phosphate, and creatine pyruvate into a single product. Ancient Strength will propel your workouts to amazing new levels. Ancient Strength will give you the strength of your ancestors so you can push through those plateaus, eke out those last few reps that are the most productive in building new muscle. Get Ancient Strength today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Harness the strength of your ancestors with Ancient Strength. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com. Hey, who wants to live longer? Go to superhumanradio.com today and listen to Superhuman Radio live at 1 p.m. Pacific weekdays.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want
to... Welcome back. Mary J. Blige obviously understands proprioception. We're talking today with Mike T. Nelson from the University of Minnesota about proprioception and what you can do to increase your degree of proprioception, how it can affect you in strength and in health. You know, Mike, one of the problems I have with the whole concept of joint mobility work, you know, Dr. Cobb has a good book and a fantastic program out there. There's a couple other people out there who talk about it regularly as well. But my biggest challenge is it requires, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but it appears to require a great dedication and time to, you know, if you're going to do a whole body routine to increase joint mobility, you've really got to, I mean, it's a workout in and of itself, isn't it?
Yes and no. I kind of look at it depending upon how much work you actually need to do. So most clients, athletes I work with, if the more sort of messed up they are, the more joint mobility and other work they'll need to do. If they're pretty good at moving already, they're probably not going to need quite as much. So it can vary from as little as, you know, 5 minutes a day to 20 minutes, half hour a day. I mean, there's few people that I'd have probably do more than a half hour a day. I mean, some people maybe two 20-minute sessions, but that's more the exception than the rule. So I'd like to have people do it more throughout the day. So if you've got a lot of people that are in a desk, for example, a lot of desk jockeys, you know, I've even told them to do the mobility work in the bathroom if they have to. You know, every time you drink your water, run to the bathroom, do a couple, you know, drills there, okay, go back to your cube. You know, you're trying to keep your body to function as optimal as possible all the time.
Right.
So that you're giving it the correct input.
So when you see a client for joint mobility work, do you first assess where they need work, or do you just start teaching them, look, these are the things that you need to do to keep your whole body flexible? Is it more proactive or is it more reactive, your approach?
If you're doing it in a classroom setting, you're kind of just teaching them the basics. For more of the personal consultations I do, it's all customized. The really cool thing about precision joint mobility work is that we're actually working with the nervous system. So, for example, I'll do usually a gait assessment or some other assessments. I'll try a drill. And I'll have them walk again. I'll reassess them, like, literally within seconds. And because we're addressing the nervous system, I can then tell, did that make a difference or not?
That quickly.
That quickly. Yep. So when they leave, they have a list of 3 to 5 exercises that they're going to do. The number of reps that most people do is pretty low, like 3 to 5 reps, as long as it's done the correct way. And if they're really trying to work on something, I'll have them repeat that about 3 to 4 times a day. The reason for that is to get that overlap, because we know that initially the exercises, in my experience, this is anecdotal, seem to only hold about 2 to 5 hours with someone that needs a fair amount of work. So we're having them repeat that about 3 times a day or so to get enough overlap so that over time, to their brain, it becomes sort of their new normal. So that really it sticks there. So that when they come back, you know, in the next month or whenever their next time is, we can go, all right, those look pretty good. Just do a couple reps a day whenever you need to. And let's move on to the next set of exercises.
That makes perfect sense because we know that the brain, you know, is constantly taking inventory of what it needs to keep in, let's say, the RAM section that needs
sure.
access right away, and what it can store away in the archive and compress, where you have to sit and think about it for a while to go, oh, yeah, now I remember that.
Right.
And it's probably doing that in millisecond intervals with motion or, you know, movement-related data. And so it makes perfect sense that in the early stages of recovery, for lack of better terms,
mm-hmm.
Or recovery of these motions, you have to do it several times a day so that the brain goes, oh, this is becoming a high priority. I need to keep this in the RAM section from now on.
Right. You're forcing it to, again, the brain's always, you know, the body's always adapting. You're almost like forcing it to adapt to something better because you keep giving it that stimulus and goes, oh, okay, that's right. This thing here.
Yeah, right. You keep calling for it, so it keeps it at its fingertips, so to speak. What kind of effects does this have with athletes when they start? I mean, I'm sure that you're getting a lot of young athletes too that don't necessarily have what they think are range of motion issues,
sure.
And so on. And then all of a sudden you assess them and you go, you know, do these exercises, and they're thinking to themselves, you know, what is this going to do for me? But what actually ends up happening with them?
Sure. All sorts of stuff. I mean, some of the demonstrations we do are pretty cool. There's reflex in the foot, like around the area of the cuboid area. And what you can do is you can just do a muscle test for the glute med, so the muscle in your butt. And a lot of times what you find, because of the, you know, the shoes and the stiff feet, a lot of people, their inactivity in their glutes, what I've seen is it's actually related to a joint that gets stuck down in their foot.
Really?
It makes sense. Back to our elbow example, right? If I injure my right elbow or my mobility there is not as good as it should be due to the arthrokinetic reflex, my muscles are going to be weaker there. But now when we look at gait, running, sprinting, whatever, with each foot strike, the muscles and the joints in the foot have to time to the hip. Right, so if my ankles are really messed up, neurologically my brain's going to go, well, all those big driving muscles in the hip, you know, they cross the hip area, I'm going to start shutting those down a little bit because I don't want you to go out and exert a high force on an unstable ankle or an ankle that's not up to par. So by literally just doing a drill to open that area, you retest them, and they're like, well, what the heck was that?
Right.
And a lot of times what you see then in terms of performance, had one guy do it for squat, his squat actually got worse initially because his, you know, his brain is trying to remap and trying to relearn that movement. But that was for a couple weeks, and after that it, you know, went up quite a bit. So that's normally what you see is that sometimes performance will increase automatically, sometimes it'll drop a little bit, and then it'll come back. Because in essence, you're with a glute that's firing, you're doing almost a new exercise for your body. So it takes a little while for it to learn that, and then since it's working more efficiently, you know, performance then goes up.
Can you look at a person and just by looking at them, like, okay, let me step back. I have a term that I like to use called occupational hypertrophy.
Yeah, you know, that's a good one.
Okay, and you know, if you're a carpenter and you swing a hammer with your right hand for 30 years, guess what? Your right forearm looks like it belongs to Popeyes.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's a, you
mechanics.
Know, yeah, we get it. I drove a sports car for many years, and my left quad has a great flare, but that my right one doesn't. That's because I basically did a one-legged lunge many times a day in and out of that car.
Sure.
And you know, and you can see this in the gym. If you look at people walking around, you'll notice that their right gastroc is usually much larger than the left, and that's from working the gas pedal and the brake of their car. The older they are, the more extreme it is. So with that being said, this whole concept of occupational hypertrophy, can you look at a person sometimes and go, wow, flat ass, they're not using their glutes at all, this is what's going on with them. Like, because I also know people who walk with their feet splayed tend to have very weak hamstrings.
Yep.
Do you when you look at somebody, do you start to size them up right away and go, wow, this person needs some work to start activating those muscles right there?
Yeah. You can look at two things, exactly your point. You can look at muscle size. I tend to try to compare left side to right side. I mean, what's their symmetry? And then also I look at what's the movement. You know, everyone, if you want to see bad movement, it seems like go to an airport or a mall and just watch most people walk around. And it's like, wow. I mean, it's amazing. But then again, you watch, say, like the Super Bowl, and you watch athletes there who are doing amazing things, but they make it look easy. They make it look fluid. They make it look efficient. They make it look like, oh, I could go out and do that, even though you can't.
Right.
So that I kind of look at the overall movement also.
And now, as a result of that, when you look at these people, like if you looked at somebody that literally had no glutes at all, would you automatically start to think ankles, or do you look? You have to assess deeper than that because anything could affect the glutes at that point in time.
Yeah, it's true that, you know, Dr. Kalb likes to say anything can affect anything, which it definitely is true. But there seems to be generalities. Like you can watch when someone walks, the transfer through, especially the lower SI joint area, you know, right above low back area, you should see a nice rotation in the glutes, at least. What you see in a lot of people is there's not much rotation there.
Right.
It's kind of more to this shimmy, like, side to side.
Right. And you know what? I'm guilty of that, too. And the funny thing is that when I do treadmill work, I really think about my glutes. As a matter of fact, sometimes what I do with treadmill work on purpose is I call it the Frankfurter pushcart guy. You know, when I lived in New York, you know, they had the Soubrette Frankfurter guys. They would run through the streets to get to their corners, and they would push these very, very heavy hot dog carts. And so what I do on the treadmill is I grab the handrails on the side, and I lean forward a little bit, and I push through my heels and let my glutes do all of the work. And it's and you know, you really have to think about it the first time you do it to keep do, you could do it for a couple strides, but then your body goes back to where it wants to go, which is shifting the work to, you know, the hamstrings and the hip muscles and so on and so forth. And it takes a lot of concentration, and to do it for 30 minutes continuously is really an arduous task. You don't realize, and your glutes should be able to do that all day long because they should be right there. But the truth of the matter is most of us do have a stylized walk, if you will, that we think looks cool, and we kind of leave out all these other muscles that need to be working, and they're not.
Yeah, and your comment on the treadmill, I'd actually have people, if they're my athletes, I'd have them go push a car instead, because there's, if you look at how the body gets information, the thing about treadmills is they tend to promote an unnatural gait pattern because the ground's moving underneath you.
Yeah,
and you're
right.
Just kind of walking around on it.
Right.
And then in addition to the concept of your proprioception, you get all this information from your joints to your brain that says, hey, your body's moving. You're like, oh, cool. But now your vision says, hey, you haven't gone anywhere. You're the same darn place that you started, you know, 30 minutes ago.
Right.
And so I think that may cause some confusion in your brain. But I'd rather have people do a task where they're like pushing a car or something where they're actually moving their body at the same point.
You know, that's interesting because when I'm on a treadmill, that we have a cardio theater at my gym now, the gym that I go to now. And so, you know, I have a big movie screen.
And
if I'm running on the treadmill, and I'm watching the screen, and all of a sudden action starts moving from the left of the screen to the right of the screen, I start, my track starts changing. I start going to the left on the treadmill, and sometimes I step on the part that's not moving. It sounds like a car burning rubber. And it's it's like, you know, I have to catch myself. It's like, and then I have to look down. I have to look down at the LED board in front of me to stabilize. Because
what you're doing is you're cutting your visual field, right?
Yeah, because my legs seem to want to go where my eyes go.
Makes sense, right? That's what your body's designed to do.
But it's unnatural. So really, the reality is that people who spend hours on treadmills, running in place and have no problem watching a movie, are really damaging their proprioceptive skills.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing themselves any favor at the very least. Because you're giving your body the wrong stimulus, right? You want to give it a stimulus that, okay, I'm moving, my eyes are telling me I'm moving, my joints are telling me I'm moving. But now a treadmill, we're doing an unnatural gait, and you combine that with bad visual information.
I think it's
definitely not good. How much of an issue it causes, it's hard to say, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, it really is worth thinking about. You know what? And it comes back to, you know, raw foods, natural foods, and it comes back to, like, instead of walking on a treadmill, go outside and walk.
Go outside. Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with walking outside? I mean, you know what? I'm going to start doing I've been doing my cardio early in the morning on an elliptical machine, but I'm going to start walking in the morning instead. I think that there's a lot more value to getting outside and walking, especially when we're talking about these types of issues.
Oh,
just working on a treadmill or whatever. I mean, it just stands to reason. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. We're talking with Mike T. Nelson about proprioception. This is an important subject. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The girl who never wants to be alone. I don't want to be that call at 4 o'clock in the morning. Cause I'm the only one you know in the world that won't be home.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. PJ Braun knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, PJ Braun has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services, and your friends will want to know what your secret is, but we'll never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and start building the body that you've always dreamed of. Go to PJBraun.com today. That's PJBraun.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Strength, recovery, and growth are the goals, and Progenics is the way. Progenics represents advanced dairy science, research, development, and biotechnology that liberates and concentrates the most effective fractions of protein. The results are increased muscle torque, faster recovery, and greater muscle growth. You won't find these ingredients in any other supplement on the market. Take the challenge. Go to progenexsrg.com to learn more about the benefits and science behind the Progenics products. Train harder than you've ever trained before. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Progenics banner ad to save 10% off your order. Progenics, where fantasy games meet science.
Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.net.
Hey, did you know you could listen to Superhuman Radio while mobile? Go to the BlackBerry store and download the Radio Bee app. Go to shoutcast.com and search for the Superhuman channel and get started today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
I throwing you off?
Nope.
Didn't think so.
How you doing, young lady? The feeling that you're giving me.
Just want to remind you that there's a new sponsor to Superhuman Radio, and that's ProBodybuilding.com. You can go there and do live video chats with professional bodybuilders. They've got great articles, forum. But the really exciting thing is if you're a competitive bodybuilder, especially, you know, obviously amateur bodybuilder, they give away $25,000 a month to amateur bodybuilders in their online competitions. It's so simple. If you are ready for a competition or just finishing up a competition and you have, you're in contest shape, you take photos of yourself, you put them up on probodybuilding.com, you put your stats up there, and then people come and vote in your category for who has the best physique. And those winners win thousands of dollars every single month. I mean, it's really an amazing opportunity for those of you out there who are competing to garner a few thousand dollars a month by just, you know, putting your pictures up there and having the public vote on who has the best physique. Check it out, probodybuilding.com, where pro is a state of mind. My guest today is Mike Nelson from the University of Minnesota, and we're talking about proprioception. And, you know, Mike, I have to believe that this has a benefit for the elderly. Obviously, I think we talked about that briefly.
Sure.
But do you work with any elderly people at all?
Not per se elderly. I do work with some, I guess you could say, older people. But, yeah, I mean, the nice part is it has a benefit for just about everyone, unfortunately, due to our current lifestyle and movement habits.
Yeah, I know. It's really amazing. And I wonder if proprioception would be an issue if it wasn't for our civilization's propensity to sit still most of the time.
Yeah, I think it'd be much, much less of an issue.
Yeah. So, in summary, I mean, where can people learn about the process of joint mobility and joint stability work?
Sure. Obviously, the ZHealth website has some stuff, which is www.zhealth.net. And then I have almost coming up on 2 years of articles and research tips and stuff on my blog, which you mentioned at the beginning, which is just miketnelson.blogspot.com. I've got a lot of the ZHealth information there, too. They can pick up the R-Phase manuals, and if they have any questions, they can definitely email me, too.
You know, and it's important. I want to spell it out because there's a couple different ways to spell Nelson. It's Mike T, N-E-L-S-O-N.
Correct. Blogspot.com.
Right, .blogspot.com. And then you also have your own website. Can people get to your blogspot from your website?
I think they can. I'll double check to make sure, but the other one is just miketnelson.com.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool website as well. How'd you get that URL, man? There was no one else using Mike T. Nelson, huh?
I was amazed, actually. Mike Nelson, who used to host the Mystery Science Theater 3000, who's from Minnesota, so I get mixed up with him once in a while. But
yeah. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Better for you, better for him?
I don't know. I haven't seen what he's been doing lately, so I don't know.
Yeah. But in summary also, the joints that seem to have the greatest problem, with you're saying the ankles, obviously the feet, the ankles seem to take, and it makes perfect sense because it takes the beating of a lifetime.
Sure.
I mean, you know, we're on our feet a lot, and obviously the weight of our body is just crushing down on them, and the restrictiveness of shoes, and poor women. I bet you have a lot of problems with women in proprioceptive issues, especially those who wear high heels throughout the day
for
work.
Yeah, high heels are horrible. I mean, I've seen people come in not wearing their heels, and I've watched them walk, and it just looked like they were still wearing high heels. You know, just, yeah. And you can do an internet search. There's some, I think it's China that had people wear some very odd-looking shoes, and you can see toes that wrap around in all sorts of funny directions. And, yeah, because, again, your body is just adapting to what you're giving it, and it's just not adapting in what we'd like to go in a positive direction.
You know, it's interesting because I have a feeling that style has a great influence on the degrading of proprioceptive skills. And I'll give you a for instance. I bet you this is going to be one that's going to happen eventually. You know, these kids who sag.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you sag, your pants have to be just at the right level below the cheeks of your ass. You can't go any further than that. And you're a bum, but, you know, any higher than that, you're not really sagging. So what ends up happening is if you watch these guys walk, a lot of times, first of all, they're holding their pants with one of their hands as they walk.
So that means that that shoulder is down lower than the other shoulder as they're going through life. The other thing is they tend to bend their knees and kind of in a partial, like a one-tenth of a squat position all the time, because they're trying to use their thighs to spread out and keep their pants from sliding any further down.
Mm-hmm.
Now just imagine, now imagine this person with no clothes on. You're looking at them as a specimen. They're hunched over to one side with one hand down below their hip, one arm and one shoulder up high, and they're walking with their legs out, which their feet are probably going to be splayed as well, and they're going through the day, probably 40, 50, 60, 70% of their day in this position. Now tell me this isn't a formula for, you know, a crooked spine and a hip that wears out soon and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and add to that the horrible footwear they have on, it's a mess.
Well, that's the other thing. They leave the sneakers open, right, and untied, which means and this is why I hate flip flops, because you have to grip them with your feet while you're walking.
Yeah, the toe tension.
So they've got their feet all contorted too, so that they can fill that extra space, so they don't have to tie their shoes. Oh my God! I mean, you know, if you're a chiropractor out there, just start tracking these kids now.
Oh yeah, it's bad.
What other social / style conscious things do you see out there that contribute to degrading proprioceptive skills?
The other one that I see a lot is sort of the other people who go the other extreme. They're always told to, stand tall and fix your posture, that type of thing. But I think that's kind of maybe going about it the wrong way. I think you're adding too much tension in to try and hold the position. I think you're better off by what we refer to as axial lengthening. So just imagine that there's like maybe a book on your head, so that your spine is actually lengthening. You're pushing your heels into the ground, but you're not creating unnecessary tension to try and keep holding a position the whole time. Other people refer to it as bringing your skull up. Someone's pulling you up by the crown of your head, and then your skeleton is sort of hanging from that.
Interesting. I'm doing it while I'm sitting here. You can actually do it while you're seated as well.
Yeah, it feels pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it really does. And and by pulling your head up, your back, all of a sudden your spine finds its own arch, as opposed to trying to force the arch into it.
Right. I think some people go the other extreme where they're trying to force themselves all the time into good posture, and I think that may be
I had a friend when I lived in Las Vegas named Smitty, who used to 5, 6, 7 times a day walk over to a wall, put his ass and his shoulders against it, and then walk away in that position and he said this is the way he keeps his, keeps his posture. But it was such an unnatural way to walk after he got off the wall. I was thinking, my God, you're really struggling to maintain that position. No wonder why you have to do it 4 or 5 times a day.
Yeah, and you watch those people walk, and I don't think they move very athletic or fluidly, in my opinion.
No.
To the extreme, another way, too stiff and rigid.
So, and that's obviously another telltale sign of losing proprioceptive skills, and that is when you don't have that fluidity.
Sure, yep.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. All right, well, listen, visit Mike's website, both Mike T. Nelson, NELSON.com, and check out his blog at miketnelson.blogspot.com. He's got lots of great stuff up there. He's educated me over the years by sending me lots of good information we've done shows about. I figured it was time to actually have you on the show to talk about this stuff. Will you come on again, Mike?
Yeah, I'd love to. That'd be great.
Okay.
Anything I can do to help.
All right, great. All right, well, listen, thanks so much for being on Superhuman Radio today.
Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it.
Okay, and that's the show for today, but we will have another episode of Superhuman Radio for you tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I'll talk to you then.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Tune into the Superhuman Channel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and listen to classic episodes of Superhuman Radio. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Listen.